Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with Bridget Riedel. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this Friday, Friday after Christmas, and a pretty mild day out there today across much of the area with temperatures in the mid-30s. We continue to melt away a lot of this snow, and we'll continue that trend through the upcoming weekend. So some nice mild weather to end this week and into the weekend, but there's changes around the corner. We'll go over that a little later, and we're also going to have our LRC calendar outlook through March as we head into a little deeper into winter. So all in all, pretty busy day. If you have any questions for us about the LRC calendar, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. That's 701-293-9000 if you have any specific dates that you'd like to kind of pinpoint. I know we've had a lot of texts and emails about going down to Frisco in January, and well, trip down there should be okay. Trip back might be a little problematic, but hey, at least it's warmer down there, so that always helps.
It will be. And for those who were expecting Don Hartman with Outstanding Farmers of America today, I do have to apologize because when I was scheduling with Don, and yesterday's guest, Brian Reisinger, accidentally got him overlapping. So, Don, we're going to reschedule him. We will still have that opportunity to talk about farming cotton and hatch chilies down in New Mexico. We'll do that into January. But right now, considering what the weather looks like for the winter months, we probably want to tackle that question. And also, a big thank you to those who send questions to us. Yesterday, I had a great email conversation with Sherry. We talked about some sugar beets that her family grows down by, or up by Hillsboro. And she had a question about the inside of a sugar beet having a red coloration to it. And she said, that just doesn't seem normal. And she's from Hillsboro, no longer lives there, but was curious from the picture she saw why that would happen. And having visited with one of our other diligent listeners, Chad, who is a sugar beet agronomist, he let me know that sometimes you will see sugar beets in this region, which, by the way, are historically white inside, sometimes they can have that red look. And because it's an off type, it happens when beet seed that's growing in the Willamette Valley in Oregon will sometimes see red beet crosses or even a Swiss chard cross. So it's very, very minimal that it happens, but it can happen. Usually those beets have a lower sugar content than what we would see traditionally from sugar beets grown in this region, but nothing to be concerned about. So thanks, Sherry. Appreciate you sending questions so that we can get those answered for people. Very happy to do that. So everybody should have notepads out, Dean. We're gonna, if we get started on the LRC calendar, or is that something you want to talk about this weekend's weather first before we get to that?
Let's hit the local weather and at least short term and go over that, because there's still some patchy fog out there, and it's most dense as you're heading down east and southeast towards the cities. So if you're going down towards the Twin Cities, we're going to run into some dense fog. There's rain down in southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, quite a bit of rain actually, and it's not good news for our ice anglers. In fact, I got a couple emails today saying, hey, this warm weather is not helping out with the lakes. And yeah, I know it's a little slushy, a little messy out there, but hang tight. We've only got a few more days of it. But we should top out today in the mid to upper 30s. Still some patchy fog, a little drizzle possible with south winds on the light side generally. And then tonight, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid to upper 20s. So some of those side roads could refreeze that aren't treated. Be careful of that. And for the weekend, we'll see a little more sunshine in the area with temperatures in the mid to upper 30s both Saturday and Sunday. So we're going to melt away. Already seeing bare ground here in the Fargo area, and we'll continue to melt away quite a bit of this snow Saturday and Sunday. And then we start next week, and we'll start finally returning back to normal with temperatures starting the week in the 20s, ending the week in the teens. And it's beyond that when things start to change, and that's where we turn to our LRC calendar. And like I said, as we're going through the show, if you have any specific dates that you would like to know about for our area, let me know, because I've got the calendar made up for our area, but we can give you a general clue on if you have any travel plans going through our area, if any, when the big storms are going to hit. Again, if you have any questions, 701-293-9000. So let's start off with the month of January, and we are looking at the start of the month, which is Wednesday is New Year's Day, And we're looking at pretty quiet weather throughout much of next week. Might see a very weak Clipper system come by on the Wednesday night into early Thursday, but that would just be a dusting half inch of snow, so that's not a big deal. But what we're looking at is anywhere between the 4th and the 6th, so kind of centered on that Sunday-Monday time frame. The last time that system came through on the LRC calendar, it did produce blizzard conditions throughout the central part of the state. And it looks like we could see a repeat of that as we head into early part of January. That first week of January looks cold, and I'm talking 10 to 20 below cold. Now, one of our viewers on our sister station called in this morning and said, hey, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, when we had the extremely bitter cold air come in, we were without snow on the ground. It ended up freezing pipes. It ended up being a big problem. He was asking, are we going to have snow that we get before the extremely cold air comes in? And it does look like we will get some snow with that system coming in that first weekend in January. That's storm number one in January. Now, the after effects on that are going to be crucial that first full week of January, because we're going to have quite a bit of wind at least the first half of that week. And with that wind, if we get any decent amount of snowfall, which it looks like there's a pretty decent chance we will, even if it's a couple inches, 2-3 inches, we could have near blizzard conditions early that week. If we fail to get the snow, then we're just going to see the cold, cold temperatures slide on down from Canada. So that's storm number one of the new year, between the 4th and the 6th. Now, storm number two, a weak Clipper system that will be coming in at the end of that first week, right around that first, the second weekend of the month, so 10th, 11th, right around there. A weak Clipper system will slide in on the Arctic air, reinforcing the Arctic air, and could pick up an inch or so out of that. We'll continue to funnel in the cold air all the way through the 17th of the month. So a good 10 to 14 days of some really cold weather. Could see another Clipper system, a light one, coming in on the 15th and the 16th with another 1 to 2 inches possible. Then we get our January thaw as we head into the 18th through about the 23rd or 24th. We'll start to warm things back up to above normal temperatures. Now, that doesn't mean 40s. Keep in mind, our normal highs as we head towards mid-January are right in the upper teens to low 20s. So that brings us through about mid-month, and we'll kind of recap what the rest of January looks like. So really only one major storm in January, and that's early in the month, but the after effects of that could be problematic if we get a deep enough snowpack with the cold, and as each one of these little Clipper systems come by, the winds increase behind that. So we could be looking at, again, even though it's only one big storm, we could have quite a few after effects from that with the wind as each little Clipper system drives by as well. So January is going to be, well, obviously a cold month. It always is. That's really no surprise. So, again, if you have any questions for us, 701-293-9000. We're up on break. We got to hit national news. But don't go anywhere. We'll have the rest of January and a look into February coming up after the break.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And thanks so much for joining us today. Oh, if you're headed out the door and you're going to do a little New Year's Eve shopping for next week, or maybe you're still having some Christmases at your house, well, don't forget to stop by any of the area liquor stores and pick up a bottle of crude spirits. North Dakota crude spirits, which are produced right here in the state. It's a family recipe. You can choose from the original recipe or the crude spirits orange. And if you're wondering, what am I going to do with this stuff? How am I going to use this great liquor? You can go ahead and check them out at crudespirits.com. Just a highlight for your upcoming New Year's Eve. And while you're making those plans, well, grab your pens and pencils. Dean's walking through the LRC calendar from now through March. So, Dean, when we went to hear the American Ag Network markets, we were getting through January, but we're not quite done yet.
No, we were. We got through about January 23rd. So, again, it's going to be cold from the start of the month through about the 16th, 17th, with the main system coming in here that first weekend in January, followed by windy, cold conditions. And again, we get enough snowpack, we could have blizzard-like conditions that first week in January. A couple more weak clipper systems come by the 15th and 15th through the 16th. Another possible weak clipper coming around the 22nd, 23rd. We're going to warm up. We'll get our January thaw 18th through the 23rd, it looks like. And then cold weather returns for the end of the month, but it looks like dry with little to no snow from the 24th through the close to the end of the month. Now, as we turn our page into February, February is going to be a little stormier, but not as cold, as we'll see potential of a decent size system coming in here sometime between the 1st and the 3rd. So the start of the month of February, a decent shot at a pretty strong clipper system sliding in. Now, last time this came through the state in cycle one, this did provide about 2 to 10 inches of snow. It varied widely across the area with pretty windy conditions. But behind that system, instead of turning colder, we did start to warm up. And I do see that from about February 7th through about the 13th or 14th, we'll return to above normal temperatures. So a little February thaw there. And then as we get just past the middle of February, we're approaching on the 18th through the 20th. That time frame looks to have another potential bigger system come into the area, which is similar to the one that we're going to have come through here in about 10 days. That will cycle back as we head into February 18th through the 20th, and windy conditions behind that. So we'll end the month of February on a very cold note. And again, depending on how much snow we get out of that one, we could have near blizzard conditions again as we head towards the end of February with the wind behind that system. So January, really, one potential major storm, a couple of clippers, and it all depends on how much snow we get laid down with the windy conditions. January, colder than normal month. I think February is going to wind up being a little stormier than normal, with temperatures pretty close to average to maybe a little bit above average. So all in all, I don't know. I think January is going to be much worse in terms of the potential for, even if it's just one storm, the potential clippers that are coming down with wind could pose a bigger problem. And then February, we have a chance for more precip entering the area with temperatures a little closer to normal, to a little bit above normal. So, I mean, all in all, not a bad looking January and February. I just think January is going to be a lot uglier than we think, especially, again, the wild card is going to be how much snow we're going to lay down on that first weekend. Now, and taking a look at some of our mid-range models, the LRC had this this system pegged about 2 weeks ago, and now our mid-range and short-range models are starting to catch on to that. They're not catching quite on to the amount of precip in terms of snowfall. They're ranging anywhere from literally 2 to 9 inches, and as we get a little closer, we'll be able to kind of narrow in on exact amounts. But again, if you have any travel plans that first weekend into the first full week of January, keep up to date on your forecast. I've had numerous emails, Bridget, about going down to Frisco. I know a lot of people driving down there. I think the drive down is going to be fine. I don't see any real travel troubles. I'm assuming, you know, you're not going down on the 5th. It's going to be a long day. You're probably going to go down before that. So the travel down to Frisco shouldn't be a problem. Now, the travel back could be an issue heading back after the game, maybe the day after, because with fresh snowpack and a lot of wind, could be quite an issue as you head north of, let's say, north of Omaha, from Omaha through Sioux Falls, and especially north of Sioux Falls, coming back from Frisco if you're driving, could be a big problem as we head into January.
So we could have folks who leave on the 5th. I mean, that does actually happen. We see folks that leave just the day prior, push it all the way through if you got a carload of folks. So that's possible. But I think, as you said, the return from anything that you look at in the LRC dashboard, et cetera, you see whether that's going to happen all the way through that Omaha, maybe even a little bit down to Kansas City, and then certainly up, as you said, through South Dakota. So could expect some really big travel delays. And if you're familiar with driving back from Frisco, many of us have had to do this. be prepared to spend an extra night. I know that there was a lot of folks that got stranded in Summit one year. Quite a few stopped in Sioux Falls just because they knew the weather was bad coming back to the north. So there will be some travel trouble for folks in that region going south. And if it's widespread up here, you know, we've got a lot of folks that are on the road every day that go back and forth to Minot and Bismarck and so forth. So mm-hmm. we'll have to keep an eye out for what they're doing.
All right.
Now, you didn't get any further than the 20th of February, I think, is what I was writing down. But we had a question, and that would be from Naomi, one of our diligent listeners. And she said, hold on, I'm planning a bit of a birthday celebration, February 27th to March 3rd. So we can't let her down. She needs 80 degrees and sunshine.
Yeah. That's not happening. After the potential storm 18th through the 20th, then we get another cold blast from Canada 21st through the 4th of March with a weak clipper system coming in here sometime around the 1st or 2nd of March with possible 1 to 2 inches. But again, behind these clipper systems, we usually get the wind with it. So with that being said, we could have, you know, even with... We've had blizzard conditions with an inch or two of snow, so we'll see how that pans out. But after the 4th of March, things do start to warm up. But, we left off on the 18th through the 20th. So 18th through the 20th, a possible bigger storm, and that's the same one that's coming through here the next weekend, followed by that cold dump of air to end the month of February. Now, question, Bridget, so what's mm-hmm. the Bison's record? You might not know this off the top of your head. When they play in the rain.
In the rain?
Yeah.
I don't know that we've played in the rain a lot. That I don't know. That's probably a Jace Denman or a James McCarthy question. But we've been in Frisco before in snow, supposedly warm sunshine. But when they say, oh, it's warm in Texas, they lie. I've worn my coveralls in that stadium more times than I've worn just a jacket. I'll tell you that much.
Because right now it looks dry in Frisco. Now, there will that storm system that's going to affect us on the 5th and 6th should be just east of the Frisco area by the time game day rolls around. I think most of that will be to the east of the area. But then they'll be having the cooler weather, and cool by Texas standards, probably in the 40s. Could be in the low 50s for game day, but I think a better likelihood that temperatures will be in the 40s for game day with breezy conditions. So it should be dry, but right now it looks like it'll be a little on the chilly side for Texas standards.
You know, for many, the end of January, heading out to Minot for the Ag Expo that's up there, that's usually a bitter cold time of the year. There's times we've driven to Minot and it's been minus 20 degrees actual air temps. Looks like there might be a little bit of warmer weather. I mean, if it gets into the 20s that week in Minot, people are pretty excited. As I think about other farm shows that are going on, February 5th is going to be Agronomy on Ice. It looks like we're going to have a little clipper and some cold air to build more ice right before that. We get into February where we have the International Crop Expo in Grand Forks, and it looks like that will likely fall about the time we have a snow system. So make your travel plans accordingly. Maybe you want to head up to Grand Forks a day early to take that on. And then even the Sioux Falls Farm Show, which is usually the third week of January, looks like that could be in a time frame where we actually have a little bit of a warm up. So keep an eye on all of those things. Mm-hmm. The trade show calendar is filling quickly as people are deciding to get on out and pick up a little knowledge in the winter months at trade shows and meetings.
Yeah. In February, it looks pretty quiet from the 5th through about the 15th. Not seeing a whole lot. That'll be our February thaw time as we start to warm up a little bit. But
Well, if we've got snowpack and it drifts, that's probably our greater concern then.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We'll take a quick break. And then when we get back, we will go and launch into March and let you know what the LRC is predicting for March as we end winter and start to take a peek into spring as well. I'll give you a hint. I don't think it's going to be an early spring, at least the way it looks right now. So we'll have more details on that and have the rest of the forecast according to the LRC. And again, if you have any questions, any specific dates, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Against your paper, we're writing down the dates on the calendar for the LRC, when we're going to expect snow, etc. personally, I'm just comparing it against all the farm trade show things that have been going on. And there's a big one. First part of March is Commodity Classic. It's in Denver this year, and that will be right over March 1st to the 5th, I believe. So, all right, Dean, as we get to March, what kind of travel trouble could we expect for those trying to get to Denver?
Okay, we got to rewind because we had a caller.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we had a caller, but she left her information with Addison, our producer. Addison, what did was it Linda or Amanda that called? Lynn, all right, and what was the dates that she was looking at?
Yeah, so she's wondering what the weather will be like around January 25th.
January 25th, and she was going from DL down to Minnetonka, right?
Yep.
Okay, January 25th looks quiet. We're going to get a dump of cold air coming in behind a weak clipper system on about the 22nd or 23rd. So it should be okay. Might have some windy conditions with a little blowing snow, but no big storms for that travel going down towards the cities. So that's good news there. That's good. So,
excellent.
So Linda, that looks good going from DL to Minnetonka. So where we leave off, we're into March, right, Bridget?
We are. So the last dates I wrote down are February 21st to March 4th. You said a weak clipper system, very cold, some small snow followed by wind after that happens.
Yes. So we turn the page into March, and March looks like a pretty warm month. That doesn't mean we're not going to see snow, because we will have a couple of systems. One right off the bat, first and the 2nd of March, we'll see a pretty quick moving clipper system come in here, and with a couple inches of snow possible, followed by a couple days of cold weather and breezy conditions. Then March 5th through about the 15th, so a good 10-day stretch of a nice March thaw. And then we keep our eye on March 17th through the 19th. We could see a stronger system come through here with quite a bit of wind, and depending on the track of that, could see some snow. Now, it could be on the rainy side as we get into March, depending on how that clipper tracks, but it looks like it'd be a stronger one. Typically, those dive a little further south, and that would give us snow. And during the first cycle, it produced about 2 to 6 inches of snow. Behind that, we'll see a few cold days, but we'll end the month of March on a mild note, before another major system comes in here to start off the month of April. So March on the whole is going to be above average in terms of temperatures, and a couple of cold streaks to start off the month, and then about the 16th through the 22nd. But that's it. The rest of March looks to be on the milder side, with a weak clipper system at the start of the month, and then a stronger system about the 17th through the 19th, and then the rest of the month is quiet and warms up until we get to the first part of April, when we start to see a stronger system come in here that first week of April. And as we get into April, obviously that jet stream looks a little further north, and we'll be keeping an eye. That April system is similar to the one that came through here third week in November, which gave us about a buck and a half of rain. That one will be cycling back as we head into early April. So it could be good news, it could be bad news. Either way, it looks like it'll bring us quite a bit of precip, but it could be in the form of quite a bit of snow as well. So something we'll keep an eye on. But go ahead, Bridge.
That's not unusual. You know, no. We're getting to the end of calving season, and we've seen that a lot, where we get pretty wet, whether it's with rain or a whole lot of snow. So I don't know that that's going to be terribly unexpected for folks as you look at some of the systems that happen that time of year. And a lot of this, you know, when you say we're going to have a system comes through, we just don't know how much. We know that something will happen that's a disturbance, but we have no idea what the volume will be of that moisture at this point.
Right. And we can tell what the weak clipper systems are, and we can tell what the potential of right. the stronger systems will be. So let's go back and recap. For those of you that missed the first part of the show, shame on you, first off. And second off, make sure you're taking notes here as we head through January, February, and March. So one of the bigger systems, at least the potential for bigger systems, we'll highlight these, would be the 4th through the 6th of January, followed by windy, cold conditions, possible blizzard conditions if we see enough snow. A weak clipper around the 10th through the 12th, another weak clipper around the 15th, 16th, followed by our January thaw 18th through about the 23rd, with another weak clipper system possible 22nd, 23rd. That will draw down colder air to end the month of January. So January on a whole, I think, is going to be colder than normal, with a big system possible start the month, and then just a couple of weak clipper systems. February, we're looking at, again, a potential stronger system coming in here the 1st through the 3rd. This, again, produced anywhere from 2 to 10 inches of snow in the first cycle, and it gave quite a bit of wind with it as well. But it didn't last long because then we warmed up. So we're expecting a little February thaw, 7th through about the 13th. And then we'll wait for that stronger system that third week in February, about the 18th through the 20th. Again, that has a potential of being a strong system, similar to the one coming in here early January. And behind that, a quick dump of cold air to end the month of February. And then a weak clipper system to start off March, followed by a couple of cold days, and then temperatures at or above normal the 5th through about the 15th. And then we'll see another potential strong system the 17th through the 19th of March, followed by a couple of cold days, and then we'll round out March above normal through the end of the month, 23rd through the end of the month. And then, again, a potential for a stronger system coming in here to start off the month of April. So within the cycles, there's about the potential for two bigger storms. The rest are just clipper systems, which, again, the clipper systems usually aren't noteworthy, with the exception of if it's early in the winter season, because you always get the wind behind these clipper systems. And again, like we've seen, you can get an inch or two of snow with these clipper systems, and if you get enough wind, it poses big, big problems in terms of travel.
So do you want folks to start asking you, sending you emails about other places? Like, you did this localized for Fargo-Moorhead. When they are in Bismarck, we have listeners in Arizona. Folks are traveling. Do you want them to send you emails wondering about their dates and travel plans?
Yes. Yeah. Just shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com, and let me know your specific dates that you are going to be traveling, or where you're going, and we can kind of pinpoint that. One thing we've noticed with this, with the start of the LRC, and there's two distinct patterns. And what we're seeing is there's a stormy part to the pattern that lasts about a 2 to 2.5 week period. And then we're looking at a cold part where you get these clipper systems in. So it's the stormy part followed by the cold part. And then we warm up and then we get the stormy part again. The one thing that we have noticed, and this will hold through the winter and spring, is the severe lack of moisture in Southern California and into Southern Arizona. They have not really seen much at all the first cycle. Everything has gone north into the Intermountain region and the Pacific Northwest. That will last through. They're going to have severe drought conditions, mark my word, from Southern Cal through Southern Arizona through the spring. I don't see that pattern breaking. We might get a storm or two that dive in to the desert Southwest, but boy, it's going to be a rare event.
Okay, so that's what would happen right there. But what about weather events and snowfall that happens in the Sierra Nevadas? Because this past winter, there was such a heavy snowpack that when that snow melt happened in the Sierra Nevadas and came down, it refilled Lake Tulare. It was known as Ghost Lake, and it flooded, I got to go back and look for the number, it's like 110,000 acres
right.
of farmland that went under. So what happens in the mountains could affect that.
True.
But what you're saying is what happens over the top of that region right now does not look like much for moisture.
In Southern Cal, like the Sierra Range, the Sierra Range has got from the Sierras northward through Washington, they've gotten quite a bit. I mean, they've gotten copious amounts of moisture. That will continue through the spring. That will definitely continue through the spring. I'm just worried about severe drought conditions for SoCal and into the desert Southwest. I just don't see that really. And that honestly stretches into parts of New Mexico. And as you get into Texas, you're going to get a little more moisture pulled in as these systems dive in to the Intermountain region. You'll get a little more moisture pulled in to areas, especially of central and eastern Texas. But from SoCal through southern Arizona into West Texas, boy, I'm really worried about drought conditions, possibly severe drought through the spring planting season down there.
Okay. Well, and there's some folks down there that they do pretty good work with irrigation. That was part of the reason that Tulare Lake dried up in the first place. I keep looking through this story. I'm trying to find the number of acres that returned with all of the rainfall and snowmelt that they had down there. But, what it tells me that when the lake started to disappear 130 years ago, actually at that time, Fresno was a waterfront town. And that changed drastically after the water. And some of that, certainly a lot of that is cyclical. The water started to leave. And when it did, more agriculture came into the region. The big concern of a lot of officials out in that area right now is the fact that what's under the water, similar to what happened as Devil's Lake rose, you have buildings, farmsteads, equipment, all sorts of things you weren't expecting are now underneath the water. So there's a lot of stuff that's hanging around down there. When you get into that Southern California into Arizona, you look at areas that have pretty good irrigation. A lot of winter vegetable production happens down there. So your lettuces, other leafy greens come from that region as well. So be interesting to see if we have changes in what we see on the store shelves when some of those products might get to be short supply, if in fact we're able to see a change in what's happening as far as the growing season down there for them.
Right.
So we'll see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So again, if you have questions, don't forget you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Much appreciated if you do. We've had great questions coming in from people. One news story that's been going on, Dean, the Texas tornadoes that have been going on down south, was this something that the LRC saw coming as well? Was a lot of this disruptive air in Texas, over into Louisiana, et cetera?
It did. This was the same system that hammered the same areas. I believe it was back in November. I've got the November calendar in my office, but it was, I believe it was around the 18th or 19th of November where they had a big severe weather outbreak down there. And again, figure about 44 to 46 days from now, they'll probably have a decent shot at again seeing a shot of severe weather again down there in the same area. So it's going to be pretty it's going to be an active parts of it are going to be an active severe weather season in the southern plains as we head into spring. I'm not seeing a whole lot up this far north, at least not early in the spring. But from the central southern plains, I think we're going to have a pretty active spring in terms of potential for severe weather.
Would likely guess we would, yes. Yeah. So, all right, folks. Hang on. We've got one more recap of certainly what will happen for the weekend weather. We can answer your questions as to that weather calendar that we just went through for you. And we'll touch on any headlines we might have time for. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great Christmas week. We start the new year next week. And, we're going to end the month of December on a pretty mild note. For the most part, we will turn a little cooler next week, but still above normal until we hit the new year. That's when temperatures start to slide down. In fact, we're looking at quiet weather all the way through the upcoming weekend with mild temperatures. We're currently in the mid-30s across much of the area. We'll make it into the mid to upper 30s. Still some patchy fog, a little light drizzle out there with the south winds generally on the light side. And tonight we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies, mid-20s. And then the weekend, we'll see a few more peaks of sunshine. So that'll be nice, but we're going to continue to melt this snowpack away. Highs in the mid to upper 30s on Saturday, mid 30s on Sunday. And then we'll cool things down to the 20s to start next week and to end the year. And then to start the new year, we're looking at colder temperatures coming in with colder and breezy on Wednesday and Thursday. Maybe a clipper system coming in Wednesday night, early Thursday. That'd be it. Half inch less kind of situation, so that shouldn't be a big deal. But then as we head into the following weekend, that first weekend in January, that's when we'll be keeping a very close eye on a potential larger system coming our way, followed by the coldest air of the season, along with quite a bit of wind. So the first full week in January is going to be, it's going to be a little rough around here. It's definitely going to feel like January, so make sure if you have any travel plans, that first full week in January, you'll definitely want to keep up to date on the forecast. Things could get pretty icy and dicey around here.
So for the weekend coming up, you mentioned temperatures in the 30s on Saturday and again on Sunday. So I heard fog, dense fog. Will that bring freezing fog again on like Saturday night, like we've experienced in the last couple of weeks?
That's a definite possibility. Yeah, because nighttime lows will be in the 20s, so there is that possibility. Again, the more snow that we melt, the better it is, the less chance of that freezing fog. But I still think we're going to be dealing with fog over the weekend. And like you said, we could be dealing with a little bit of freezing fog in the morning hours before temperatures warm up, and then that doesn't become a problem in the afternoon.
Okay, so for those of you who are still Christmasing this weekend, as you are coming back home, be careful. Watch out from those roadways, because we may see some of those changing conditions, you might say, that happen fairly often.
Right, exactly.
So speaking of Christmasing, mistletoe. Well, it's not what you thought. A lot of us think of mistletoe as this big romantic item, this plant that you should buy, you should hang up so whomever is underneath it can share kisses with you. But in reality, mistletoe, in all of the biological senses, it's a parasite. It's not cool. Oof. Mistletoe actually will jump onto a host plant and will try to sort of suck the life out of it. It doesn't entirely kill it, but it does drain that plant of a lot of its nutrients. Birds eat the berries, and then they excrete the sticky seeds that adhere to branches. So the word mistletoe actually is derived from the words mistle and tan, which means dung on a stick.
Nice.
That's not what you were thinking when you were buying mistletoe for that special someone in your life. But mistletoe does, in fact, become a bit of a pain in many countries. In fact, mistletoe is found around the world. There's 40 different species just in the U.S., but 1,300 species all over the world. And those berries are a food source for a lot of birds. They also provide nesting habitat for spotted owls. So just when you thought mistletoe had a simple explanation, it does not. Now, if you recall, Dean, back last winter, probably in about February, we talked about the American Farm Bureau naming of the Farm Dog of the Year. And that dog was one that was trained by Farm Dog USA. And when I say farm dog in this sense, I mean PHARM. Farm Dog USA was started in Missouri. It was supposed to be pets helping agriculture in rural Missouri, but it is expanded. Farm Dog USA now has trained over 30 dogs that are placed with farmers around the U.S. in order to help them do better and stay on their farms longer. There's a couple that farms in Missouri. She's legally blind, but their specially trained dog helps her with guidance, with security, and also opening and closing gates when she's feeding animals. And so that way, if her husband's gone, she can take care of livestock on her own. Farm dogs help to extend a lot of the livelihood of many farmers who have them. So big shout out to Farm Dogs USA and the work that they do to help farmers who might be inhibited by injury or illness around the country. So thanks to them.
That's
much
great.
Appreciated.
Going back to the mistletoe story. So I suppose if you went up to your significant other with dung on a stick and said, give me a kiss, it's probably not going to have the same thing. Not the same effect.
Probably not the same effect. No.
Won't try it then.
But if you've ever grown up in a dairy barn and you've been splattered before, sometimes you just need a hug and the other person's going to get messy. It's not easy to be in a barn.
No, can imagine.
No. So, and for those with those, like you talked about, those weather conditions are going to be coming up with some of this wind and cold weather, Dean, I'm hoping if you don't have your windbreaks in place, get them up, get those all set, because you're going to have a chance for animals to get cold. That wind really takes a lot out of them and makes them have to work so much harder to stay warm and heated. So get those things ready before we get this weather coming in.
Yeah, and we're giving you about 10-day advance here, you know, that it's coming. It's so be if we get the snow that the potential of that system coming in here that first weekend, January, that first full week in January is not going to be fun. If you can work from home, you might want to plan on doing that in advance. It's going to
be a good time to do it.
A little messy. Yeah. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the mild weather. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.